and welcome to the Brainial Podcast. I am your host, Bab, and this is...
The Guy.
The Guy.
The Guy.
On today's episode, Brainial's Misconceptions and D-Gen Talk.
How have you been, The Guy?
I'm good. How are you?
We've been away for quite some time, and we decided to pick up where we started.
Step away from the mic just a little bit.
Okay.
Right there is fine. Don't get too close to the mic and shit. The mic can pick us up like from where we are here.
Yeah.
Before we even get started, I just want to apologize for everybody because I know it's echoey as fuck. And there's nothing I can do about that, okay? That's the way it's going to be, alright?
I'm sorry to everybody out there, but hey, you know what? We're going to keep on recording.
Yeah, oh no, 100% I'm going to record. I don't give a fuck that it's echoey as fuck. That's the way it's going to be. So if you want to hear what we got to say, like, you're going to have to deal with this. It's all good. What the fuck? Are you signing? Are you fucking signing right now? Are you fucking signing? Are you fucking serious right now? I'm like 10 shots of like fucking Glenfiddich 18-year-old in right now. And you're gonna fucking sign on me? Yo.
If anybody...
Yo. Yo.
I haven't shared with you guys a little bit about me, my background, so I can give you an idea of why I'm yawning. I'm a hands-on, full-time mom.
Look, man, nobody gives a fuck about that, right?
No, because I want to know why. I'm not here to disrespect anybody by yawning.
Okay.
But I'm a hands-on mom.
You're a hands-on mom.
Toddler and a teenager.
Alright.
So, yeah, I'm a bit tired.
Look, that's fine, you're a hands-on mom and shit. I'm 10 shots in.
Oh,
right?
My God.
Okay. And I had a margarita.
You did.
With mezcal.
And
a whack-ass mojito.
Oh, my goodness, you did. We'll be over.
Yo, well, wait a minute. Are we gonna have to like set up somewhere else? I mean, this is not a good spot.
No, we're gonna be fine.
We're gonna be fine. Still, let me just roll with it.
Okay.
That mojito was whack as fuck.
It was.
Had like ginger beer in it. I never had anything like that in my life. Let me tell you something.
Yeah, it was.
That shit was disgusting.
It was.
I couldn't even drink. Are you fucking serious? Wait. Are you serious? Are you gonna sign it? Yo, get it together. Get it together. It's fucking podcast time right now, all right? I'm 10 shots in, whack-ass mojito, weird margarita. We're doing this.
Okay, we are.
Let's go.
Okay.
Let's go. Get with
it. Okay, I'm going to have some water.
Get some water. Drink some coffee and shit. Get it together. It's just not going to fly, Bab.
Okay.
All right?
Okay, so where are we? This podcast deals with Brainial's Misconceptions and D-Gen Talk.
That's right. You motherfuckers are getting it all fucked up and shit. You don't even know what Brainial's all about.
It's uncensored, okay. As always, unedited. Well, to the
It's slightly edited. Okay,
so we have been away now for, I want to say, a month and maybe a few more weeks.
It's been like 6 weeks.
We've been taking some time off, not because... Well, you know what? Because we're just tired.
I'm tired as fuck.
We need to...
I'm an old DJing.
To create content, it doesn't always happen, and sometimes you need to take
also,
some time
off.
Also,
it's the bear market, fellas.
It's the bear market.
I mean, this shit got worse.
Nah, chill.
Since last we spoke, this shit is even worse.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But I think also, something that you need to know about Brainio is that we have been into crypto for years. We're talking about what, 2015?
Too long. I don't even know. I lost count. I don't count anymore.
So we're tired, and that's what we took
a break. I am tired as fuck. I just want everything to moon and just be done with it.
This guy wants everything to moon that tonight.
Specifically, if you're listening to this, I need you to buy DAP.
Tonight, he shilled his bag to the waiter. The waiter was freaking out.
I freaked the waiter the fuck out. That dude was freaked the fuck out.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to calm him down. I didn't know what to say.
So we.
I showed him that though.
Yeah, yeah. This dude pounded whiskey. I'm talking about like just shot after shot after shot. It got to the point that our waiter, that's all like tied up and like tough, was like shaking the game. And, like,
he was fucking shaking.
He got scared every time that he went back and got like one more drink.
I don't think that dude's ever had somebody like that. Like,
you drank for the whole restaurant.
I drank for like the whole section of the restaurant.
And then after he pounded drink after drink after drink, he shilled him, Doc.
100%.
Yeah, so, oh, shout out to you, by the way, Doc. Great things happening.
I'm going to hook you up, Doc, on Monday.
We are.
You.
We are.
I'm gonna drop a nice like analysis tweet on you guys.
So let's go back. We've been away and we've been traveling. We went to Tulum. Tell us about Tulum.
Tulum was super cool. The food is awesome.
Oh man.
The vibe is extraordinary. What else can I tell you? I mean,
the beaches.
You gotta go there. You gotta the fucking beaches. Like get that fucking cocktail with the lemon sorbet in it. The shit was delicious.
You gotta
check out the beaches. They're like white sand, like blue water, Caribbean shit. Straight up Caribbean
you
shit.
You gotta call my boy Felipe. Shout out to Felipe, taxi
shout
driver.
Shout out to Felipe, the taxi driver.
He took us everywhere. And just, you know what? It's not only Felipe. Every single taxi driver just loves Mexico and just tells you, I'm telling you right now.
The Mexican people are very proud of their country, as they should be, because it's a wonderful, wonderful place.
And I think there's this misconception of...
Oh man, the pyramids.
Pyramids. I'm like, wait.
Those pyramids were amazing. Those pyramids were fucking out of this world. Crazy shit.
Bro,
right? Yeah. Like, the pyramid is on top of a cliff. Literally on top of a cliff overlooking, like, the ocean.
Yeah.
It's insane. It's like movie shit. It's like, I've only seen that shit in movies.
You know what? If you haven't gone to Tulum, I'm telling you guys right now, it is going to be the spot, man. Like,
oh man, Tulum in 5 years, that shit is blowing
sure.
up.
Sure.
100%.
There's crypto people. I mean,
people are moving to Tulum from all over the world.
Yeah, no, for
there's
sure.
There was like British people there. They were fucking, the queen is dead. We gotta get the fuck out of here.
I mean, I don't know if they said that, but yeah, they did. But there's also a train being built or some shit. The point is this, whatever ideas you have about Tulum, I mean, it has to be Tulum is paradise, beautiful people, Amazing food, great vibes.
Great vibe, great weather.
Yeah.
Everything that you want.
The only thing I'm gonna say though, dude, I'm only gonna tell you this. The one thing I'm gonna say.
You gotta step away from the mic though.
Okay, I'm sorry. Here we go again.
Just go back a little
I'm
bit.
I'm going. I have a thing with the mic. One thing I'm gonna say about Tulum are the roads.
Still building the roads.
Yeah, but the roads, man.
The roads aren't done yet. It's a work in progress.
Regardless, fuck that.
Even with dirt roads, that place is amazing.
Yeah, the food and the drinks. There was this one place where the chef he quit, and it was the Indian food.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah. But still, Regardless, everything was fucking awesome.
It was amazing.
Next stop, we left Tulum, and we are in Medellin, Colombia.
Home of Landia for you Landian guys.
Shout out to you
okay,
guys.
We're still looking for the headquarters.
Bosa,
okay.
We got you, Bosa. Yeah. We're doing our research. I think he's getting therapist, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, we can't find the headquarters. I don't know where the headquarters are. I'm still looking for the headquarters.
He's getting there.
But,
Bosa, we got you.
But aside from that, this city.
Medellin, oh
is
my
magical.
God.
It's magical. It's indescribable.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a Latin American New York, but if New York was surrounded by mountains, which it kind of is. I guess if you go a little bit upstate, there are mountains, but this is like in a valley.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And, you know, in a valley of one of the Andes mountains, it's incredible.
I think what's most incredible for me is right now it's the bear market, so I need to save as much as I can to put it back into investments, and I need to look
100%.
At living costs. And the U.S. living costs is right now, it's unbearable.
It's unbearable.
It's impossible.
Inflation is hitting the United States.
So Medellin has been the spot that I'm like, damn, maybe I should move here during the bear market, because everywhere I go, I have to check twice. I'm like, this costs how much?
One Colombian peso translates to 0.002.
No,
3 zeros. Mm-hmm. 0.0002 of a dollar. The bang for your buck that you get here is unmatched.
Look, we went out for dinner right now, and we were talking, and then we just started to order. Well, you know what? I tried to keep it light. I had a soup and...
You had a soup.
I had a soup and some...
Who the fuck ordered soup for dinner?
Anyway. Anyway, I had a stew.
I think that's what freaked the waiter out.
Nah, not sure. What freaked the waiter out was you pounding those whiskeys.
No, what freaked the waiter out, yeah.
That guy was like, 100%. Another one?
Yeah,
like,
another one.
I'm like, yeah, man.
Hell yeah. I mean, I ordered that shit 15 minutes ago.
But let's go back. To give you guys an idea of what we did at that table, so we had two apps.
Three apps.
We had three appetizers. Three appetizers legit.
The appetizers were good at that place.
I had some fruity thing that was non-alcoholic.
Non-alcoholic cocktail.
Then this dude had, like, I kid you not.
Shut the bar down.
I kid you not. How many drinks was it?
I had 10 shots of Glenfiddich 18-year-old.
Whatever that is.
That's nice whiskey.
And he had some margarita.
I had a margarita with mezcal. That was good. It was good, even though I don't fuck with margaritas and shit. That's not my thing.
Mojito.
But it was good. And then I ordered a mojito, which was... they don't know how to fuck with mojitos. They don't do mojitos here.
No, chill. And then from there...
This is not the place to order. If you come to Colombia, don't order mojitos, okay?
Just get all the parts to do it yourself.
Yeah.
But besides that, then we had, you had some salmon or some shit like that.
I had a salmon.
And then I had this big soup that didn't make any sense, but so be it.
Okay.
And it came out to under 150. And the whole time at the table, I'm looking at this guy, I'm like, man, this thing's gonna be massive, this bill.
You think you were gonna spend like $300-$400?
Because I'm from Miami, Florida.
Sure.
So
no, Miami would have been like a $400.
No, for sure. Dinner. Guaranteed.
Guaranteed.
And plus, amazing service. Yeah, he
was. Of course.
Always.
The service, impeccable.
Impeccable.
Always.
At the end, you know, we paid. I was shocked, and the guy shilled his bag to the waiter.
Of course. What do you mean? I just got into that today. Of course I'm gonna show that shit. You guys gotta get into DAP. Look into it. In fact, I mean, if you don't wanna fuck with DAP, I mean, just look into the NFT lending niche just in general, because it's gonna be a big one during whenever the speculation comes back. That's definitely gonna be a sector of the market that gets a lot of action.
Was it Bend and JPEG?
Bend and JPEG. And there are some other ones that don't have tokens yet, but just that sector in general is gonna be huge. And also institutional lending,
Seapool right now.
Shout out to Seapool,
Alpha
Seeker. Also buy some Seapool.
Let's go.
Also get your Seapool bags, like fucking.
Staking goes live next month.
Yes.
Maple as well. We see you. I mean, come on, you're a gem.
Yeah.
Aside from that, what the fuck were we talking about that led to this?
Look. Hold on a second, we don't want to get too crazy and shit.
No, let's go back.
You know, let's come back to it, right? This is about brain-healed misconceptions.
No, but wait, but let's finish the topic of the travels and then we're going to go into
that's
that.
That's fine, all right.
We have to do it in order,
okay,
man.
That's fine. Okay.
So we ended up paying under 150 to do, like, showed us bags. And then from there we went to some casino that isn't really a casino. Which we both played.
The one thing I don't like about this place is that they don't have like
single table.
They don't have poker. They don't have They don't have table poker. They have video poker.
Not true.
You know? Sit on a machine and video poker, I guess, but that's not, you know, that shit is whack as fuck.
So anyway, now we're doing the podcast. We've been traveling. We plan on doing more podcasts now. But yeah, just bear with us because right now we're just enjoying our fruits of our labor.
Yeah.
And we're gonna get back at it. So,
Brain-healed misconceptions.
So I wanted to make an episode. I told the guy I'm getting a lot of messages, some feedbacks on.
Hold on, be quiet for a second. Hold on.
What?
I wonder if it'll pick up the music in the background.
Anyway, can I go on? I'm getting a lot of comments, a lot of feedback on brain yield, and I'm like, you know what? We need to squash this shit. Let's squash it. Let's just go on air. We have a podcast. Let's talk about this on the podcast. Have it on record.
What's going on? Who's talking shit? What's going on? Fill me in on this shit, because I don't know what's going on.
I'm not gonna call out usernames because that's not online friends.
No, we're not gonna name names.
But
we're not gonna name names.
No, but I you know what?
We may name a couple names.
We might. Ted, we see you.
Yeah.
But no. We're just gonna squash some of these misconceptions on today's episode.
Alright, let's do it.
Number one, are we a pump and dump channel?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Not at all.
Mm-mm. Let me just say, we are not pump and dumps.
Even though I do encourage you to fucking buy dump.
No, we are not a pump and dump channel by any means.
Yeah.
What we do is, literally, people come up to us and tell us, through Telegram, through voicemails, through our friends in general,
yeah,
hey, we know about this coin, can you do a Nansen on it? And then we're like, shit, did you get a check?
I take absolutely no sponsorship money, and I don't want to.
Yeah.
And we have been solicited for that,
yes,
already. You know, like MECX.
Much love to them, though, because they've been great.
Much love to those guys. They got a lot of all coins on their roster.
Professional people love them.
Sure, 100%. We also got those freeway dudes that want us to show their shit. Much love to you guys, but we're not going to do that. And
we don't really know, because at the end I haven't spoken.
I mean,
but still, the point is that we are free thinkers, and we want to think freely.
Look,
don't want to have any money tied to this.
Look,
in that sense,
if we could absolutely not take any type of sponsorship money at all, ever, that would be ideal.
Yeah.
At least for me.
You know?
I don't really want to take any sponsorship money. You know, I see all these other dudes. Everybody that I see, everybody I listen to, they all have sponsored segments. They all do ads, and that's,
which we don't hear, which is fine. It is what it is.
Which is fine.
Like,
to each their own.
Yeah.
To each their own. That's fine. You guys want to do ads and shit, and do sponsored segments or whatever. I'm not really looking to do that.
And it's
I'm looking to tell you to buy the things that I think are, you know, good investments.
Aside from sponsorship deals and all those different things, do not think also, because a lot of people on Twitter that are crypto influencers, you want to call them, get money to say, hey guys, buy this, it's gonna 50x, it's gonna 20x. That's not us by any means. Whatever we say is because we believe in it, because the data is showing us. We back up our opinions based on numbers. If it's not bullish, then it's not bullish.
Then it's not bullish.
But we never say, hey, listen, buy this, it's gonna 50x, and we never get a check from any of these projects, because that's not how we work.
Yeah.
If you wanna write me a check though, and I don't have to call anything,
that's
hit me
fine.
Up. Hit me up.
Yeah.
I got definitely.
I'll take the check.
I got that money.
But I don't want to. We don't want to.
Yeah.
You know, become like
pump and dump.
Collars. Like.
No.
This is not what this is. So I guess that's like the first misconception.
It's a huge misconception.
That is it. Like, you've got, there's a lot of feedback about that, that people don't know what it is. Well, I mean, just so you know, like, this is not about that at all. This is, what have I said that is a good idea to invest in here? Aside from DOP, of course. and the other, like, DeFi primitives that I think are going to be, like, well received in DeFi, whenever the speculation comes back, like Maple and Seeple and things like that. But it's not like we're getting paid by those projects or anything.
No. Every time that we
and other than that, I mean, you already know the number one thing that I say people should accumulate
for sure
is Bitcoin.
Yeah.
You know? If you don't own any Bitcoin at all, you know, you're fucking up. You're really fucking up. I mean, Bitcoin should be the foundation of your portfolio.
Yeah.
You know, you should have a Bitcoin position and then build on top of that before you do anything else. If you own no Bitcoin at all, you are fucking up. I can't like stress that enough. You're fucking up, and you're doing the world a disservice. And you know, I don't know what else to say about that.
There we go. Misconception number two.
There you go. Misconception number one squashed. Done. Bam. Boom. Next. What's next?
Is the guy really that accurate with his craft? Does he really have all these years of experience? Oh, come on. Go ahead, squash it. And by the way, for this one, if you're out there and you're a blockbuster and you have a Twitter account or a Telegram, let them know, man.
Definitely. I mean, let them know. I mean, am I really accurate? You know what? Yes, I'm really accurate. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I'm fucking accurate, of course. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
And I'm accurate because I'm not just... I'm accurate because I take my time with the analysis, and I'm not just... There's people in this game that have an opinion every other day.
Yes.
And they flip-flop back and forth. And one day, it's like, I'm going to sell my Bitcoin.
Or
I'm going to go all in on Ethereum and this and that. And
yeah, yeah.
All sorts of crazy shit. I'm very steady with my, advice. And I'm very steady with the analysis. Because, you know, it's... Because it's based on thorough research and experience, and I don't give out it's not like every day I go on Twitter and I say, hey, you know, this is like, this is gonna happen.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you should do this or whatever.
Yeah.
I'll do that once in a while.
Yeah.
So the data has like aggregated itself in such a way that mm-hmm. I feel comfortable and I have conviction that I can say something.
Yeah.
I mean, the most recent example of that is the merge call. I mean, I fucking nailed it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I know Arthur Hayes and a bunch of other dudes had a different opinion to what I was saying, but there you go. I mean, you want to know if the guy is accurate and shit. I mean, just go on Twitter. I mean, honestly, just go on fucking Twitter. You know what I'm saying? Like, just go on Twitter and find out for yourself. And like, and am I always going to be 100% correct? Absolutely not. It doesn't work that way.
No, it is.
This is a game of probabilities. This is all about statistics. And I'm always, obviously, I'm going to have like moments where like my opinion is incorrect. But so far, at least like for the last 12 months, the last 18 months, I have been pretty consistent and pretty accurate.
Extremely.
You know, in my calls.
And I will just add to, you know, his predictions and how accurate they are. As he said, he's not always 100% correct. But
what and you know, and then just so you guys know, you don't need to be 100% right to make money in this. You just need to have better than a 50% accuracy. You know, better than 50. If you can get 51% accuracy, then you will be profitable in this thing of investing and trading. That's all you need, you know? You just need 51%.
And one great example of how accurate he is, you know, in November, and I always replay this in my head, this dude straight up calls me in November and tells me, hey, listen, are you still holding Flocky? And I'm like, yeah, I'm still holding Flocky. I'm up seven figures. And then he's like, yeah, great, sell. And I'm like, what do you mean sell? Like, right in November? He's like, no, that's it. Like, it's done. Literally, the brother called the top.
It was easy to do. I mean, it was clear. Because if you want to know what's going to happen in the crypto market, all you have to really know is what's happening with Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
If you understand what's happening with Bitcoin and what part of the cycle Bitcoin is in, then you can tell what's gonna happen with the rest of the cryptos. That's all you need.
So, bam, squash, misconception number two,
boom, done.
Number three. Is this dude really gonna finish these videos?
Am I gonna finish these fucking lessons? These goddamn lessons. These lessons are tough, fellas. I mean,
yeah.
It's not easy. I mean,
and we're not getting paid.
No, we're not getting paid. I mean,
we're
not getting paid.
Right now, we're not getting paid for any
of this. And I mean, we're going to give a lot of it out for free, too. I'm not even going to charge for a lot of it.
But some parts at the end, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. The more,
you know.
Yeah, the more intricate, more time-consuming parts of it.
But there's a chunk
of it. But a lot of it is going to be for free, you know. So, is it going to get done? Yeah, it's going to get done. You know, but you guys are going to have to wait and shit because I'm on vacation.
Squashed. Misconception number four.
Well, what the fuck? How many misconceptions are in there?
Well, this is going to be like the last one.
Okay, all right.
Misconception number four. Do you really make money off these Nansen analysis that you do?
Yes, I do. Yes. Yeah. Not always, of course. Yeah. Again, nothing is 100%. Yeah. But yes, like you can make money with Nansen. Yes. And we're also not getting paid by Nansen.
No, also, there's no.
Alice Krzyzewski, you already know.
Mad love to the team, though. Mad love to the team. Always.
Those guys are amazing.
I present.
You guys are awesome. The product is at
perfection.
Perfection. There's nothing that compares. You know, as far as for like, you know, there's Glassnode, of course, but Glassnode doesn't cover ERC-20.
Didn't they also call you and they had questioned you because they're building something like Nansen in India?
Yeah, I did an interview. I had an interview call with some Indian guys that are building a Nansen competitor software.
Watch out, Nansen.
But, you know, Nansen has
first mover advantage. But also a great team, innovative, building.
And yeah, they have a big head start on that. So, you know, I don't think they're going to get replaced anytime soon. So and it's not just Ethereum that they cover now. They have 10 different chains.
NFTs.
And the NFTs.
They have a newsletter, I want to say.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Wallet tracker.
The research portal is pretty cool, too.
The research portal.
Even though the one thing about Nansen is that, if you want access to, the more in-depth information, it is pretty expensive. And that is one thing that people have said, through DM, that, hey, man, I love the content and, you know, the software seems pretty cool, but I can't afford it, you know?
Yeah, no, that's something that we did discuss episode 2.
Yeah, and I hope that Nansen lowers their prices and makes it more available for regular people.
I know that they did have a discount. It was 40% off. It was a great discount. But yeah, the cost
40% off, I mean, you know what I mean? The plan that covers the real meat and potatoes of it is $1,500 a month. So even 40% off on $1,500.
Yeah, especially with living costs and the way things are going right now.
It's still hundreds of dollars.
Yeah.
Holy fuck. That's not really making it
easy to access
for regular people. And that's the one criticism that I have about Nansen, the only one.
But
is the price.
I'm sure with time things can be worked out.
Just like
we all have increased living expenses, I'm sure that they have as well. So I'm hoping that.
I think with time.
They will be addressed.
I think with time
that
issue will be addressed. Yeah.
So squashed.
That's squashed.
Could you imagine if this whole time we're not recording?
No, hold on. Let me check. Hold on a second. Wait a minute. No, we're recording. We're 28 minutes.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Remember last episode we recorded?
I don't even want to edit this shit, to be honest with you.
No.
This is going to be just raw like this.
A good portion of our episodes are just raw.
You'd be surprised how much editing is done on these episodes. I mean, I edit out all the ums and all the awkward silences.
The ums are getting a lot less.
All the background noise, all that stuff. But I'm not going to do that for this one.
No, fuck it.
Because I'm fucking tired and shit.
And you're 10 whiskeys in, man.
I'm 10 whiskeys in. I'm not doing that shit.
So listen, let me ask you something. I want to talk about this episode very brief.
All
right. We are October 1st, 2022. We have 3 months left.
Is today October 1st?
October 1st.
Fuck. Damn.
3 months left of the year. Where do you see us ending? Where do you see Bitcoin ending? What do you think is going to happen?
You know what I'm looking at right now? I'm looking at the 2-year treasury bill. Okay?
Yeah.
For you guys that want to fuck with that, the 2-year treasury, the bonds, and I want to see the 2-year treasury bond go under the 21 EMA on the daily. When that 2-year treasury goes under the 21 EMA on the daily, that's going to mark the bottom for crypto. And we're nowhere near that right now.
Shit.
So, yeah.
There's more pain to go.
Yeah, there's a little bit more. I mean, right now the situation is fucked. I mean, you know what I mean? The macroeconomic situation worldwide is fucked up. it's not looking good. And the Federal Reserve is in a tough situation because, you know, how are they going to lower rates when inflation is like almost double digits? Mm-hmm. You know, the ECB, the inflation numbers out of Europe that recently came out, and they're almost 10%. They're almost at 10%. I mean, the
Netherlands, I think I saw a chart, I don't know where it was, it's double digits.
The inflation numbers are coming out again in a couple of weeks. I think it's October 12th is the next CPI. And we'll see. The last one was a miss. It was like 9.6. It was like more than expected.
For things to turn around, we need the Fed rates, the rates to go down,
and the printing to happen again. To happen again, yeah.
So that's not going to happen.
I don't think that's going to happen. Next year. That's not going to happen in Q4 2022. I don't think so. Again, like the Federal Reserve, for example, started quantitative tightening just in May of 2022. So it's been less than 6 months. They've only been doing quantitative tightening for less than a couple quarters. And this is like, you can think of like the way the Federal Reserve functions as like they're maneuvering a huge ship, mm-hmm. you know, like a big, like Titanic, like type of thing. And to get out of the way of that iceberg, it takes time.
Yeah.
You know, like you're not gonna pivot that ship just in a matter of months. It took years for them to go into quantitative tightening and raising rates, and it will take years for them to undo that. So that it's gonna take that long. It's gonna take years. Yes. That's not to say that there is an opportunity between now and then. There is. Again, look at DOP, look at Sepal,
Maple.
Look at Maple.
Wink, wink.
Accumulate Bitcoin, right? Like there's plenty of things to be doing right now in the market. But if you want parabolic like bullishness,
if you want that market again,
yeah, if you want that, if you want to be able to buy a random shitcoin and 5x, 10x your money in 2 weeks, that's like
those days are gone.
Those days are gone, and they're not coming back for some time, 100%.
And right now, all we can do is make sure to save as much as possible. So think about moving to Medellin, Colombia. Cost of living is
amazing. Make the adjustments that you need to make. Of course, yeah, definitely. That's it, you're done?
What else do you want to... We did it.
You're fucking done, that's it.
We did the half an hour.
This was a special episode.
What is this special?
We're on drunk as fuck.
Okay.
And you're just gonna... Okay. We're literally just been recording for like...
Okay.
Like what is it, 33 minutes?
Okay, I'm gonna tell you something
right
now.
This shit isn't even gonna...
Hold on, wait a minute.
This shit isn't even gonna go an hour?
You want to talk for an hour, dude?
Well, what the fuck? Like, I freaked the waiter out. What do you mean?
You freaked everybody. I don't feel comfortable, by the way, walking next to you and you're wearing a Bitcoin hat. We're asking to get shot, though.
I'm not gonna... What the fuck? Like, this Bitcoin shit is like... What do you mean? I'm gonna rub this shit anywhere I go.
Oh my god, you know what I do want to talk about?
What?
You can tell our listeners.
What do you want to talk about?
The story of when we got dropped off in the...
Oh shit.
Alright, let me just say this.
Shit.
I don't know what happens, but whenever I travel with him, it never fails. Something always goes down. It never fucking fails. Oh man. So we ended up, we landed in Medellin 3 days ago, and this driver comes and picks us up, and I give him the address, and I have no idea where the fuck we're going. We're like, I've never been to Medellin.
Yeah,
we're just there.
Yeah.
And we're also just like in awe of the scenery, the mountains.
I was in awe of the scenery because it really is beautiful.
It really is beautiful. And there's a point there. So we're driving, and again, I'm trusting that this driver knows where the fuck he's going or that he got the right address. No. And so we're driving. And
we end up like in Pablo Escobar's like fucking hood and shit.
So anyway, so we're driving and I'm noticing that the scenery is getting a little bit rough. You know, the neighborhoods are getting a little bit rough. I'm seeing perhaps signs of, I don't know.
Have you ever seen that movie City of God or some shit?
No, I haven't seen City of God.
In Brazil?
Oh yeah, I've seen it with the favelas. So anyway, so shit's getting, look. When I looked out, I was like, man, it's getting pretty rough in this neighborhood, but I don't recall the Airbnb having these kind of pictures.
Right.
So he makes it this weird
turn. You were in trouble when the Uber driver was getting freaked out.
Yeah. Also, as we're driving down, the Uber driver starts to be a little bit shaky. He starts to get a little bit pale.
He's freaking the fuck out.
So
he doesn't want to be
there. He doesn't want to go there. So then there's a point where he makes a right, and he goes on this like little like, how do you say, like a little street, like an alley.
Like an alley.
It's very, very tight. And I want you to keep in mind that as I'm in this car, this dude in front of me is wearing his fucking Bitcoin hat.
Listen, I'm gonna wear this Bitcoin hat wherever I go.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
This is my hat.
Whatever, like, dude stops, and I'm looking around, like, oh my god, where the fuck are we? Bro.
We're in Pablo Escobar's, like, hood and shit.
We opened the door, and this dude is coming out, looking around with his Bitcoin hat. And our driver opens the door, and he's like, quickly, within seconds, takes out our luggage, and puts it, like...
He's trying to get us the fuck out. He's like, here, it's here. It's that house, it's the purple one.
Bye. So then this dude is like looking around.
I'm like, are you sure that purple one? No. I don't know about this shit, dog.
And then
I don't know about this.
And I'm in the car and I'm like, no, we're not leaving. You're not leaving us here. And then a minute passes and I want to say that she's the doña of that block.
Oh, 100%.
She comes up to me and tells me, hey, listen. In Spanish, where are you supposed to go? Because it's not here, trust me.
Yeah.
So I show her this address and she's like, look, get in your car and tell
just get back in the car,
just,
okay?
Just get back
and
in the car.
Lock the doors.
Take back the dude with the Bitcoin hat, get back in the car, let's go. And I'm like, what the f-? And then we were like on this whole other side of town where we're supposed to be. But the best part is that as we're driving out back to where we're supposed to be, the driver is like, yeah, man, like, that shit, I don't know, man.
Yeah, it's like, fuck. Look, I'm from Medellin. He was like, I'm from Medellin.
And I don't even show
up. I don't fuck with that place. Fuck.
Yeah, man. But let me tell you, man, like, I don't, honestly, that hat, I wouldn't wear that hat.
I have to wear this hat.
No, I mean, I know that.
How else are we going to, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, how are you going to get mass adoption shit? If people are afraid to wear the Bitcoin hat,
you're gonna get shot, you're gonna die, you're not gonna mess up anybody.
I'll gladly die for the revolution. That's what
I'm gonna leave you in that alley, bro. I'm not fucking around with that alley.
No, I'm not fucking with that alley either. I mean, I put my hat away.
I'm not
fucking
with that alley. So, do you wanna talk about Blockbuster? I've had kind of some questions. Actually, that should be part of the misconception.
Just talk to me. Right now, so talk to me and shit.
Okay.
If you don't take advantage of talking to me right now, you're fucking up. Tell me, what's up with Blockbuster?
Really, hold on.
What will happen? That's just the music.
Oh, man. The fuck is talking outside?
No, it's just that's the music.
Okay. Tell the audience about Blockbuster.
Blockbusters, right. Fucking Blockbusters. A collection of fucking...
Misfits.
Of misfits, right? And everybody there has emotional problems. We got fucking...
Wait, I want to say that everybody on the planet has emotional problems.
Everybody on the planet has emotional problems, yeah. But we got a special collection of, like, emotionally disturbed, like, degens and Blockbuster. 100%.
I've had some people DM me and ask me, because we do mention on Twitter here and there, they're like, hey, can I join your private group? So this goes out to them. What do you say to that? Because we talked about this on episode 1. Very briefly, but we have a peg that we're holding dear in Blockbuster.
I mean, Blockbusters is very exclusive.
Extremely.
I mean, we're not going to go over 69 members.
Our peg is 69.
69 is what it is.
That's it. We're not going to go above 69.
Yeah. We're going to keep it sexy and shit.
Always, baby.
Always.
But then they ask what if someone comes up to you and tells you, hey, listen, I'll pay you for that.
I'll pay me for what?
For
to
that
be,
spot.
To be in Blockbusters?
Yeah.
How much are they gonna pay me? What?
I don't know. How much would you take for a spot?
For a spot? I mean, since I don't want to take extra than... Since I don't really want to take more than 69 members
mm-hmm.
for a spot on Blockbusters,
yeah.
I mean, fuck, like, you'd have to pay me, like, a Bitcoin or something, or at least...
Or
like,
some DOP.
Or some... Or, like, DOP. Yeah, like, 250,000 DOP or something.
No, I'm fucking around with you guys, but...
No,
yeah,
of course, like, listen to me. I don't want to take any fucking sponsorship money. I don't want to get paid for membership.
None of that.
I don't want anything.
No, we actually, I send out the invites. We have others who do, but I'm the one who's mostly scouting for people who I think would be part of this group because it's about chemistry. the end of the day. The only reason why it has stayed this active is because, yes, there's bickering, like in all groups, but at the end of the day, there is some type of chemistry going on there. That's why to this day, because I recall you telling me last year, we will know when it's the bear market when there's like one message in this group daily.
Yeah, that's right.
This, I remember, you did tell me that, and I told you,
that's one thing that really surprises me about the group, is that even through this whole shit that has happened, we're still like averaging over 1,000 messages a day, which is fucking incredible. That's like really something, you know?
And this group, and I feel that if you're gonna build something on Telegram or on Discord, it's not just about, because you, yes, we talk about crypto a lot. We make calls a lot, but it's not just about crypto, because you cannot talk about crypto like 24/7. Is we talk about anything and everything.
I think that's what makes the group special too, is that it's open to all sorts of conversation, right? Like, we'll talk about anything, you know, anything goes. Anything that anybody finds interesting is open to discussion. There's controversial topics discussed. You know, there's not a lot of censorship. I mean, the only censorship is that, like, you know, you gotta be civil with the members.
And even if we purge you, you DM the guy and somehow he's forgiving and puts you back in.
Of course.
But I think it gives a great example of, in the future, if you're building a community, if you, for any project or even just of your own, you have to be able to allow people to be to be free thinkers.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we all talk about decentralization, freedom, being open, but a lot of Telegram groups, there's so much censorship.
Censorship. Wait,
did you have the ten whiskey?
I had
a little bit of the whiskey.
Okay.
There is censorship, there is purging, there is all these different things that you're not really allowed to talk, question anything in projects that I've been in. Yeah. You question anything in the project.
And that's really very anti-crypto, in my opinion.
Yes, right there.
Like, that's very anti-crypto.
You're creating FUD, you're creating the fear.
I mean, fuck, if you're just looking for like an echo chamber, I mean, you're shooting yourself in the foot.
Yeah.
You know? Echo chambers aren't going to get you anywhere.
Yeah, you know, I've been in a project which I don't want to name, because I don't want to, you know, pump and dump anything, but I've been in a project that...
Except for DAP,
Maple Sequel.
This shit is sponsored by DAP, alright? Brought to you by DAP, drops ownership, fuck shit. They just went live, I think they did a mortgage thing, they fucking sold like a fucking ape for somebody like put their ape and took out a mortgage. I mean, look into it.
We're also dropping a tweet on Monday using Nansen TA.
Yeah. Yes, but only because it's bullish.
Only
because it's bullish. Yeah.
For now.
Yes, for now.
But let's go back. The idea is that to create an atmosphere where people are, where you are allowed to talk, where you're allowed to have different thoughts, is. I do see that a lot, even within, I'm sorry, I know you're wearing that Bitcoin hat, but within the Bitcoin community, if you don't talk about anything but just Bitcoin, and you just say, hey, you know what, maybe I'm going to look into this, it's like, forget about it.
You get fucking crucified.
You get crucified,
oh God.
And I'm sorry, but like, I think it should be about allowing people to talk. It's about agreeing to disagree. And if any platform, any project, any group doesn't allow you to do that, it's time to move on, to sell those bags, to do something else.
Yeah.
Although I wouldn't sell my Bitcoin, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean, definitely.
And Blockbuster, I know what you said, what's great about it is that you've actually created, we've all created as a group, a place where I think we feel safe.
It's an open forum where everyone's allowed to voice their opinion, and you know, no one is censored. And you know, different perspectives are examined, and you know, and people are able to express themselves freely.
Yeah.
You know, which is like the way that it should be, right? That's what crypto's all about.
That was the idea.
Yeah. Well, it's not just the idea. It's like the way that it should be. Blockbusters.
That's what it is.
And more can I say?
Yeah, big shout out to them. It's been part of my routine now.
Big shout out to you fucking
degens.
To you fucking degens and blood busters.
It's been part of my routine now almost every single day for the past year and maybe some months to go in, say hi. And I talk to them more than I talk to my real life friends sometimes. And because
well, in real life it's tough to you know, once you get into this crypto thing, I mean it's tough to you know, it's just difficult to relate to people who are not in crypto. I mean, I'm sure everybody can understand that. I mean, if you're listening to this shit, if you're still here listening to this fucking shit, you know, fucking 46 minutes in, and you're still here listening to this, then you 100% understand how difficult it is to relate to people who are not in the industry and who are not sharing of the philosophy of decentralization and freedom and you know, and just in general, like the just the vibe, you know, that people in crypto have. And it's so hard, you know, to find people like that, like in just in your day-to-day life, you know.
But also, if you're listening to this 47 minutes in, you are a degen.
Oh no, if you're listening to this fucking shit, it's because like you're fucking degenerate.
100%. So what made you look into DOP again? Because I know that today in Blockbuster you mentioned it. You just wanted to
make it. Yeah, well, I mean, that again, like, DOP is a micro, DOP is a microcap in a niche that I think is going to do very well.
NFT
lending, yeah. I think that that's a niche that is like,
it's what's the market cap? What's it
for DOP? It's right now, it's like 1.7 million,
and they have a working product,
Yeah,
Jesus,
and yeah, they have a working product, you know, they got Chainlink as the Oracle, they figured it out. Because that was a difficult thing, like, to figure out the Oracle for how to price NFTs, but they did it. And, you know, I'm very bullish on not just that, but just the niche in general. I mean, there's
because there's Chainlink.
There's a ton of other projects. It's not just that. There's like a ton of projects.
Yeah.
You know, just like there are like lender borrowers, just like there's lender borrowers for non-NFT assets.
Yeah.
You know. It's not just Aave and Maker and Compound. There's like 30 projects that do that. And just like that, there's...
And by that market cap, just
like that, for that, there's that niche, like, of the NFT lending borrowing protocols that, you know, those protocols didn't get their speculative frenzy.
Like institutional lending didn't get it.
Institutional lending didn't get speculative frenzy. Yeah, so these are niches that are like, in my opinion, they're like guaranteed, like, you know, guaranteed winners, you know, the niche, you know,
niche.
Like, I don't know about individual projects.
It may not even be DOP.
Yeah, it might not be DOP. We'll
feel strongly that
I feel good about DOP to at least like 5x, 10x.
Well, they're working,
That's no big deal, you know, that's no big deal.
The tokenomics of DOP?
Yeah, the tokenomics are pretty good, you know, 15 million max supply, incredible. They only have like less than half of that, like, circulating.
And they're staking as well.
They're staking as well, more than, like, for example, there's like, I think like 6 million circulating and 1.5 million staked. And the staking mechanism just went live, so it's just the beginning of the staking. So, I mean,
it looks good.
It looks pretty good. It
looks good,
yeah.
No such thing as a perfect project, as we know.
Of course, of course.
Listen, you know what, kudos to DOPS, because I bought DOPS at a pretty much higher price than what it is now. And, man, that price just crashed. And I remember the community was just bleeding, and you could easily pick up your bags and say, you know what, fuck this, I'm done. But they didn't. And that, to me, is more bullish than the
community. Yeah, anybody that keeps building during this time.
During this market?
Yeah.
What does that show you, man?
Yeah, it shows you a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, the project is building and delivering during this time. That's all you need to know.
If the community is active, if the team is active and they're building, what more can you fucking ask for, man?
Yeah.
At this point, because, man,
particular point, that we are in the depths of the bear market, that's exactly what you're looking for.
That's what we're
looking for. You want big returns, you're looking for small cap projects in high probability niches, like NFT lending, like institutional lending, that are delivering and
it can also be
fulfilling
other
the promises that they made.
Yeah. Yeah, but it can also be in other niches as well that maybe you've
been there. There's many niches. There's many
but the
niches.
Point is to pick the ones with working teams.
Yeah.
Teams that are still building, because what the fuck is the incentive right now to build, really? As of right now, it's for the future.
Yeah, for the future.
It's like, sure, but that's not a guarantee. Yeah. So that just says to me a lot about the team that's still building.
Yeah, 100%.
So Dobbs, you know, keep on building, and I'm going to stake my seat pool October 10th. Do my thing, and just gonna keep on grinding like everybody else, man.
Yep.
And maybe keep on traveling. You know, South America is looking beautiful.
South America is great, and you know, one thing that I really love about South America is that here is a region of the world where the use case of decentralized finance,
yes,
and hard money, you know, like Bitcoin, yeah, is really, you know, not only like visibly necessary, like everybody I just told you,
yeah,
one Colombian peso is 0.0002 of a dollar.
Yeah.
So this is a place that has experienced hyperinflation.
Yeah.
So the people here really understand,
yeah,
the need for a dollar, yeah, alternative.
It's you know what, to them, it's like in Nigeria, it's like in North Korea. When we heard that speech from that lady, Bitcoin is a lifeline.
It's a lifeline.
That's what it is. Bitcoin is a lifeline.
Yes.
For them.
It might not, people in the first world might not understand. People in the first world might not understand.
But Argentinians understand that. Venezuelans understand
that. Venezuelans understand that. Colombians understand that. Mexicans understand that. Nigerians understand that.
North Koreans
understand that. Chinese people understand that. Russians understand that. Everybody that is not part of the first world really understands the need for an alternative financial system
100%.
And the need for a hard money standard, because they have experienced,
yeah,
what inflation, hyperinflation, does to their society, to their living standard, to their ability to care for their children and plan for their,
yeah,
future. And that is where the majority of the world's population resides, in the second and the third world. So when you think about crypto, you need to pay attention to what's happening outside of the United States and outside of Europe.
Yeah.
If you're not paying attention to what's happening outside of those regions, you are fucking up.
You know, we have a lot of listeners from Nigeria.
We have a lot of listeners from Nigeria.
Shout out to my fucking
Nigerians,
what?
Yo. And if one of you motherfuckers
we
is on
Paxful,
and if one of you guys is on Paxful shit, fuck. I don't remember my Paxful username right now off the top of my head. But fucking, because the Nigerians run Paxful.
Oh, the gift cards.
Of course.
Oh my god.
Yo, if you guys are listening in the US or whatever.
Are you gonna tell them?
What?
About the Paxful thing? About the gift cards?
I'm gonna tell you guys.
Shh. No. Let's not tell them.
Let's
not tell them.
Fuck you. I don't tell you anything. You get nothing.
No, let's not tell them yet.
Okay, fine.
But you know what?
There's going to be an episode where I'll break down for you how you're going to save money on Amazon, right?
Shh.
You can get all your fucking Amazon shit for like...
No, legally.
For on the cheap. Legally. Yes.
Right,
it's super legal.
You don't want to get censored.
No. There's nothing illegal about this.
Straight up.
This is super legal.
Legal.
Okay? Like, you don't
have
to worry.
I redo my bathroom. Thank you,
Paxful. Yes. But shout out to my Nigerians.
Shout out to Paxful.
Keep doing your thing.
Also to Amazon customer service.
And shout out to Amazon, right? They haven't shut it down yet. They haven't shut the loophole down.
No, but it's legal. I don't want to
get... But loopholes are legal, though. Like,
loopholes
are legal things. You just got to be aware of them.
Give me a loophole that's legal.
All sorts of loopholes. What about like offshoring, you know, corporate accounts?
That's right. That's illegal.
Ask our former president, the great Donald Trump, about like, you know, offshoring, like, you know, corporate profits.
Donnie knows
all about it. You know what I mean? There's all sorts of legal loopholes that, you know, you can take advantage of to there's all sorts of legal loopholes and shit.
Yeah, it's like, okay, when, you know, I think there was another loophole, this guy, like, I'm so damn tired.
You're tired?
But the dude from FTX, Sam
Beckman.
Yeah.
Fried.
Big Mac. How he made his money was
How did he make
through,
his money?
And my understanding is he made it with, what's that word? He'll buy Bitcoin and he'll sell it from somewhere else.
Oh, the arbitrage.
Yeah.
Oh, the kimchi premium. Yeah.
That's cool.
Is that how, I don't know.
Yeah, that's how.
He did the kimchi premium?
He figured out
it. You know what the kimchi premium was? There was a time in 2016, 2015, where you could sell Bitcoin at an incredible premium. Like, in, I guess you could buy it somewhere else and then sell it in South Korea or something.
Yes.
Yeah, and it was called the kimchi premium.
I don't know what year it was, but that's how initially, like, how he, you know, started growing his capital.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And if the story's incorrect, don't worry. Just write a comment, baby.
Yeah, just write a comment. We'll retract it.
It's late. We're here in Medellin.
That's fine. Things we'll retract happen. It.
But yeah, loopholes, you're right. There are many legal loopholes.
Loopholes are legal.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just, they are literally.
It's just, you know what? When I told, when my mom went over to my house and she looked at my bathroom and she was like, man, like, they're so pretty. You know, and I told her how I did them with Amazon gift cards.
Yeah.
She's like, she just gave me this face. And I'm like, no, mom, it's perfectly legal, bro.
It's perfectly legal.
Like, what the f-?
Yeah.
She's like, how could you?
Just my mom had the same reaction, actually.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, definitely.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, for real.
Wait, you told her?
Well, when I told her, I was like, yo, like, whatever you need from Amazon, I'll get your 40% off.
Shh, don't tell them.
Oh, my God.
Don't tell them. Don't tell them.
Oh, shit. I'm sure, I mean, some of these guys already know. I mean, if some of these listeners are in Nigeria, I mean, they're the ones that are providing the fucking discount.
No, that's for sure.
For sure.
But anyway, let's go back to your mom. She was like, no.
Yeah, she's freaked out because when you tell people that you can get, like,
it's too good to be true, so, like, something must be going on here.
And also, don't forget, like, crypto has a crazy negative connotation.
Oh, 100%.
You know, in the mainstream. You know, people think that it's used for terrorism and, like, money laundering and all sorts of nefarious, like, activities.
There's this, whenever someone tells me that, I just think of Andreas Antonopoulos. And what do you look at me? That one is say his name.
No, it's fine. It's good.
But one of his speeches, and I read in the book of what the book was that he wrote, the Internet of Money, was a collection of all of his speeches that he's made.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, if you haven't picked up Andreas Antonopoulos, the Internet of Money, and you're in crypto, what are you doing?
You're fucking up.
This is Bitcoin Jesus. This is legit OG.
Mm-hmm.
This is as OG as it gets. Which, why wasn't he at the Bitcoin conference?
I don't know.
Anyway, let's go back.
He can't be everywhere, you know, he's only one man.
Yeah, for sure. But anyway, in one of his speeches, he goes to the audience. He's like, you know, when the internet started, people would say it's only for drug dealers and drug traffickers and pedos.
Yeah.
And I ask you now today, how many of you are drug traffickers and pedos and all this? Because it's the same idea that they want us to have about Bitcoin. That if you use it, that if you buy it, if you read about it, that
you're somehow a criminal. You're somehow a criminal.
And I'm like, yes, Andreas. But I'm sure some people in the crowd were probably drug traffickers.
There's always
going to be a drug trafficker.
The criminal element is always a part of the population.
Yeah.
I mean, 100%. But what is it, like 1%? Like 1% of the population is criminal, you know?
One thing that I have concluded from these travels is that people all over the world are good. We're gonna have good people, and the minority, I feel anyway, the minority are the bad ones.
I mean, we were in Pablo Escobar's hood, and there was a good person there who came out and said, hey, you guys gotta get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. Okay. The Doña, she told me.
Definitely.
She's like, look, get the boy with the Bitcoin hat, get back in the car. Get the taxi driver who's freaking out, get your bags, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
And then
so there's good people, there's good natured people, you know, everywhere. Everywhere you go. You know, there's people with good intentions everywhere you go.
Yeah. And I think many people are, they live in fear to the point that it drives like their whole life. I'm fearful of losing my job, so I'm just gonna be content with my life.
Right.
I'm fearful of losing my savings, so I'm not going to invest in crypto and Bitcoin because it's not safe. And the other things quote-unquote are safe, which at the end turned out to be a disaster.
Right, like what's safe? What exactly is safe?
I'm fearful of traveling because I'm hearing that in this part of the world there's killings, it's unsafe. And you know what, we're
talk propaganda.
We're here to tell you that both of us, we went the other way with our jobs, which were quote-unquote safe. And right. Actually, we feel safer now than before.
And I've never felt so safe in my life.
We have actually put all our savings into Bitcoin and crypto, and we are actually safer than people who have invested in stocks and everything else in between.
100%.
We have actually traveled quite often. We even have experience with almost being kidnapped by the cartel in Mexico. And we know what? After that incident, that didn't stop us. We kept on traveling. The idea that crypto was supposedly about criminals, that didn't stop us. We just went ahead and we kept on going. We don't live in fear, and we hope that you
don't let fear take over your life.
Yes.
You can't live your life that way.
I don't know how we got to this point of the conversation.
This is the special podcast, all right? This is for the blockbuster guys.
Okay? They're the only ones going to be listening to this.
They're probably the only ones who are going to listen to them.
And our Nigerian fans.
And our Nigerian fans, no doubt. For show.
Shout out, represent, Pacho. And maybe the doc community.
But why is it that you don't want to talk about Paxful and all that?
Because whenever I talk to, I have mentioned it to a few people, aside from my mom, and every time that they will ask me, oh, like, where would you buy this thing, right, for the bathroom? I'm very proud of my bathrooms, I'm sorry.
You're really proud of your bathrooms.
Yes. Anytime that they would ask me about my bathroom renovations and where I got these things, I'm like, oh, I bought that on Amazon, I bought that there. And they're like, but why? Isn't it like cheaper than Home Depot or Lowe's? And I'm like, oh, actually, if you do it through Paxful, through the Amazon gift card, it's actually a lot cheaper than doing it. And then when I would show them, it was just like they were judging.
Okay.
Where they go, like, is that legal? And I'm like, yeah, it's legal. Like,
it's 100% legal. What do you mean?
But because it's so good to be true, I guess.
Okay.
Was just getting judged by it, so I just stopped telling people that I.
Okay, so you're saying you don't want to discuss the Amazon Paxful loophole because you think the listeners are going to judge, like.
I don't know.
Me personally, I feel like these guys, they want to know more about that.
You think so?
If they don't already know.
You know what? If you guys want to hear more about this loophole, give
us
a comment.
Yeah, let us know.
DM
us, sure.
Give us a comment. Hey,
yeah, let us know.
The guy back.
And now we'll break the whole thing down.
We'll break it down. Yeah. But our equipment, the podcast equipment, our laptops. You know, things that I buy for my house.
Yeah.
Everything is
30-40% off.
Is bought. The tires of my car that I just changed. I mean, everything that you can buy on Amazon, I basically buy on Amazon. That's how I'm able to save, because I think it is important to share this information, because right now it's about showing people how to save their money.
Also, right now is a perfect time to, like, to teach people how to save money.
Yeah.
And the fact that you can do it with crypto is like,
yeah.
What do you mean? This is one of the benefits of being in this thing.
Yeah. Know? So we'll have an episode for that if you guys want. Just
DM us.
If you guys want it.
If you guys
want
to know how that works, let us know.
And if you don't want to hear, just shut the fuck up.
Let's
keep talking about it.
No, that's fine too. I'll just keep saving that money myself and shit. It's fine.
Our next episode is going to be focusing on privacy. There's a lot of things happening right now that we should be talking about. Aside from making wonderful calls on Nansen, talking about our travels, about the importance of Bitcoin adoption, there's many issues I think that need to be discussed. The attack on privacy, that's something that keeps on going. The developer of Tornado Cash is facing up to 10 years and more than likely.
Did they arrest Do Kwon already? Did he get arrested?
I think he fucking. Where the fuck is Do Kwon? I think
Do Kwon is a fucking.
He was tweeting like a few days ago.
Do Kwon is like fucking a gangster.
He was wanted like in 100 and something countries.
Do Kwon is a fucking gangster.
He did a doc, or he did like an interview, I think. And
but Do Kwon's gonna get caught, like, no, for sure.
He hasn't gotten caught.
They're gonna get him. They're gonna get him.
For sure.
Do Kwon, there's no more reason to be with him.
Could you imagine if he gets caught and he is like. Before the dude from Tornado Cash gets out, What do you see to that?
If you're saying that, what if Do Kwon gets arrested?
He gets arrested.
And he gets out.
Before
Tornado Cash Dev gets out.
What do you say to that?
I say to that that I'm not surprised, you know, because he probably paid people off. And, you know, I don't know how much money the Tornado Cash Dev has at his disposal.
Yeah.
But if Do Kwon gets arrested and he gets out before the Tornado Cash guy gets out, there's no doubt about it that he paid off authorities, he paid off like the government or whatever.
No, 100%.
You know, so I guess like money talks is what I would say.
Another thing that I wanted, I'm just fuck it. I don't know if you guys have, I don't want to sound like conspiracy theorists here. I don't give a shit if you call me conspiracy theorists.
What is it?
But,
what is it? Is it about Tower 7?
No, it's not about Tower 7. Shut up. Okay. Crypto CEO resignations in the past week. CEO, Jesse Powell. Celsius CEO.
Yeah.
Alex Pachinski. FTX US CEO, Bert Harrison. Okay. I think there's more, but I'm seeing a trend
here.
Listen to me. All these CEOs are just resigning. The last time, do you remember? The last time we had massive resignations.
The last time there were this many executive level resignations, and it didn't happen in crypto, it happened in traditional finance.
Yep.
But the last time this happened was February of 2020.
Right before
Corona Black Swan.
I don't know if it's gonna be a crypto black swan, we're not saying that.
I don't know if like we're about to experience that or not. But
it's just a little bit odd.
It's just what a coincidence, you know.
But all these CEOs are just
never unprecedented CEO resignations, executive level resignations. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens in October, and we'll see what Q4 has in store.
I'm a little bit scared, but...
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's something to be scared of.
A little bit scared.
Crypto's here to stay, you know, no matter what happens.
Yeah.
Even if Bitcoin goes under $10,000, it's fine. You know, it's just another buying opportunity because the world is broken. Financial systems are broken. The establishment is fucking scared, okay?
Yeah.
And there's no way out of this.
No.
The Federal Reserve with their policies over the years, they have like put themselves into a corner that they can't get out of.
Yeah.
And there's no way out of this other than an alternative financial system. There's no way this ends in this whole thing that we're living through is not gonna end in anything else. But the growth and establishment of a robust alternative financial system, which Bitcoin will be the foundation of, this doesn't end in any other way. So don't be scared. Just dollar cost average and chill the fuck out. Okay.
A Bitcoin under 10K.
That would be crazy. That would be insane.
That's the
but it will one. Also be the opportunity of a lifetime.
And it's not going to be there for us. I'm sure.
That's going to last like 1 hour.
Yeah.
Like Bitcoin it's under 10,000 is going to be like 1 hour situation.
If you're awake, old man.
Or if you have to put limit orders in for that.
Do you have one for that one?
I don't have that. I don't have a limit order for that. But
For the buy of a lifetime, you don't have a call order?
I don't have a limit order for that, you know, but it's okay. I'm in front of the computer all day long, so it's all right.
Yeah.
I don't have to have a limit order.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Well,
all right. Okay, that's it. How long is this? How long does this go? Let's see. An hour and 11 minutes. One.
Yay.
That's it. Let's do it.
Numerology.
That's it. That's the end. Yes. We're done.
And thank you all for listening to us for this 1 hour, 11 minutes. I apologize for doing my few yawns here. It's been a long day.
It's been a long day.
But we are happy to have done
this. It was a good one.
It was a very good one. But I'm happy to put this episode out for you guys.
Yeah.
Hoping to keep on going.
Maybe we could split this into two.
No.
No? Just no, one long
just one.
Special episode.
Yeah, like a little special here and there.
Yeah, to make up for the fact that we haven't had one. Yeah, for a while.
Monday, look out for our tweet on Dom. Yeah. The guy's very excited to show his bags to his to his followers. We love you guys. Anything you want to say before we leave?
That's it. I mean, I just want to say, you know, thank you to everybody who has supported the Brain Yield and all the guys at Blockbusters who have, like, stuck through it. They're still there. They're in the bear market. You know, I'm very appreciative.
And my last Our last big shout out has to be for someone very special.
Who's that?
And this person has so much patience for me because I'm not tech savvy.
Okay.
And he always tells me, Vab, what the fuck? You have to do it like this. But he's just so sweet and he's awesome. A good part of our Brain Mule team is Jose.
Jose.
We love you, Jose.
Jose.
We wish you were here with
Jose,
us.
Jose, when you're editing this shit into clips, just so you know, I appreciate you, my DJ. I appreciate you, man.
We can't wait to take our travels to Portugal.
I can't wait, man. I can't wait to go to Portugal.
I'm going to walk out that bar because this guy drinks way too much and I barely drink. So you guys can drink all you want. But we're coming for you. We're coming for Portugal.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. I don't know what the Portuguese liquor is. I think it's like some kind of wine.
I think they do like
port. I think they do like a port. Like that's their thing. Like a sweet wine and shit.
They do have some good food, man.
Yeah, they do.
Portugal.
Yeah, I love Portugal too. Yeah, yeah. I've only been to Lisbon, but it was incredible.
Also Sintra.
Sintra, yeah. I mean, the Sintra is like this place where you go just to go up a castle or shit, and like it's like one of those like weekend holiday spots.
That's where I left
you. Yeah, yeah. We have a funny story about Sintra. Just chill the fuck out. Yeah, Sintra is crazy. It was hold on, it's chill.
Oh my god.
Fucking me.
Oh my god. I want to tell you.
We'll talk about this next time. Long story short.
I love the guy.
Fucking left me stranded and shit.
Some lady was like,
"No, if it wasn't for that lady, like that let me out." Shit. I don't know what I would have done because I don't speak Portuguese. So I don't know.
Oh my god!
No, but I love Portugal. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I love the world. The world is a beautiful place. It's full of beautiful people. No matter where you're from, no matter what language you speak, you know what I'm saying? No matter what your skin color is, you're a beautiful person. And I love you.
All right.
All right, that's it. We're going to wrap it up.
Bye-bye, y'all.
Bye.